Welcome back to Us Shaking the Tables of Reality through Minds on Kingdom, making Christ the talk of the town again. My name is Darlene Adderley, your host, and today's episode is entitled Breaking Generational Curses. Let's start off with a word of prayer. Most gracious and everlasting Father, we come before your throne asking you to speak through me. Lord, I pray that you may remove me, and I pray that your children may not see me, but they may see you. I pray, Lord God, that they may hear you. I pray, Lord God, that they may have a better understanding of your word. If anyone here does not understand or does not have the desire to read your word, Lord God, I pray that in the name of Jesus that you may come through them. Come through them throughout this episode. Come through them, Lord God, so that they may be eager to know more about you. Father God, I pray that you may cover them with your Holy Spirit, cover them with your hedge of protection through their day-to-day lives. I rebuke Satan out of their lives, Lord God. I pray that you may cover them in such a way that they may automatically have the desire to come to you whenever they are happy, whenever they are sad, and whenever they need motivation. At all times, Lord God, may they come to you first. Thank you for everything you have done, and thank you for all the many blessings you have coated us with and continue to use us for your kingdom, since we ask and say in your most precious name. Amen. So when you think of breaking generational curses, what is it that you guys think about? Do you think of it as something negative, or do you think of it as something that you're capable of? As I began thinking about generational curses and how to break them, I was like, let me go to the root first. And the root is the Bible, because you'd be able to see day-to-day scenarios. You're able to see how the people in the Bible were able to tackle them, a bunch of perspectives. But what stuck out to me the most is the story of Joseph. And you may say, oh yeah, we hear about this all the time, his brothers and how he was thrown into a pit. He was favored by his father, Jacob, also known as Israel. All this, this, that, and the third. But I feel as though what people tend to overlook is the story of Judah and Tamar. So we all know that Joseph had many brothers, right? Plenty of brothers. However, Judah, he had an interesting life, if you dissect it. So, and that story is right before you begin reading about Joseph and Potiphar. Judah and Tamar. Mercy, Jesus. Judah got married a woman, and reproduced, okay? But the thing that's really interesting about it is when they reproduced, their first son did not do good in the eyes of the Lord. So he was instantly what? Instantly died. Because the Lord was like, I'm not with it. Second brother. Judah then told his second son, the second brother in the story, told him to reproduce with his son's wife. His first son's wife, Tamar. The son wasn't too thrilled about that. He was like, what? Like, you want me to reproduce with my brother's son? But the thing is about it, in that time, it was very normal. I know in our time, very bizarre. Even when I was reading it, I was like, oh, absolutely not. But in their time, it was normal. If the son were to die and the wife were to be a widow, she's supposed to go to the following son. He was told to reproduce with this woman, Tamar. He was not with it because he knew that the son that would come out of this woman was not going to be his initially. It was going to be his brother's son. So biologically, we all know that it would have been his son, but according to their time and biblically, it would have been his brother's son. So he wasn't with it. And he did something that wasn't good in the eyes of the Lord either. And you can go read further into that if you would like to. You can go read further into that because I'm not going to get into in depth of what he did. So then he too was put to death. Or he just died. The third son was not mature of age. He wasn't grown enough yet to take Tamar. So Judah told Tamar, since now she would be a widow, he told her to go back to her father's house. and stay there until the last son was able to give her a child. So she did that. She went back to her father's house, but a while after, Judah's wife then died. And he wasn't doing good. And one day he just went out and about, and Tamar knew of that and decided to disguise herself. Tamar decided to disguise herself from being a widow to being or looking as if she's a bride. But as she did that, she also covered her face. Judah then saw her and mistaken her for a prostitute. And then he impregnated her. He impregnated his daughter-in-law. Craziness. The things you see in the Bible, the things you read in the Bible, it's just so bizarre. It's crazy. So you can tell by that specific family, that specific household, they had too much going on. And when you look at Judah and you look at his father, you can kind of see the correlation a little bit. Just, am I being realistic with you? You can kind of see the correlation, because Jacob was kind of wilding out back in his time. However, God made purpose. God made use out of that. I don't know how, but he sure did. So when Tamar, actually, let me not skip over this important part. When Tamar was with Judah and they were, you know, still conversing, she was like, what are you going to give me? And she said, no, in this current moment, what are you going to give me? And he was like, okay, no worries. I will give you my cord and my staff. And then you'll return it, like, you know. And she said, okay, bet. But after she disappeared. She was nowhere to be found. They went back to the place where she was, first off, nowhere to be found. And Judah was like, that's weird. Very bizarre. A few months passed by, and she was very pregnant, very, very pregnant. And it was known that she was within prostitution. And when Judah heard of the news, he was furious. He's like, ain't no way. This cannot be possible. This cannot be possible whatsoever. Interestingly, he said, oh, go get her. She will be executed. So she was supposed to die after that. But then her rebuttal is actually insane. She said, the man who impregnated me, this is his cord and this is his staff. Judah then realized that it was him who had impregnated her. Complete chaos, complete craziness. She then gave birth to twins. First son by the name of Perez, second child by the name of Zerah. And you know what's insane, in my opinion, insane? Jesus came out of that genealogy. Perez, Jesus came from that. Jesus broke their generational curse. It was far along the line. You can even analyze the genealogy further. There's so many people within that family, you'd just be flabbergasted and shooketh. You'd be like, huh? Ain't no way. Ain't no way Jesus came from all of them. So that gives to show that even though within your genealogy, within your lineage, you may have some craziness which has happened that you never even know about, you are capable of breaking those generational cycles. But you may ask, Darlene, how is it that I can break these generational cycles? How is it that I can break these generational things which I do not even know about? It starts off with what you say in your mind. It starts off with your actions and trying to alter your actions. Do you know that there's a lot of things within your subconscious which you have actually planted in there, simply beginning as a thought, nested within your subconscious, which can determine the trajectory of your life? There's a lot of seeds that may not have been planted from your ancestors. There's a lot of seeds that you yourself have planted, and it started off with the most minuscule words. You may say things that are doubtful. You may say things that are fearful. You may be saying things that does not even just flat out curses. And you're placing that into your mind, just wrecking, planting havoc into yourself. Sometimes it's not the devil that's against you. Sometimes it's you that's against you. And all the devil has to do is fertilize those thoughts. All he has to do is water them. You're taking care of 80% of the job. Sometimes you are taking care of 80% of the job, but then all the devil has to do is send his little minion to come speak into your head. And now you say you have imposter syndrome. Now you say you have what? Anxiety. Sometimes you say you have depression. Where did that come from? It started off as a thought. So you may be thinking sometimes you have imposter syndrome because Becky, Tina, and Miranda said that they have imposter syndrome. Sometimes you may say you have anxiety just to be relatable in your friend groups. Sometimes you may say you have depression because you saw a Cymbalta commercial on TV. Make it make sense. Make it make sense. Sometimes it is you who is cursing you, and you're allowing the devil to have the most easiest job to fulfill finishing you. What you are allowing to grow in your mind is what is eating you up. It's what's eating you up. Sometimes you are your own enemy. So you may ask, Darlene, how can I change that? You need to dig up that garden that's in your mind. All that fear, terrible, whatever it may be. You need to dig it up. Start a new garden. And I mean dig it up from the roots. Dig it up from the roots. Yes, it will take time. Yes, it will be difficult. But with my God, all things are possible. With my God, all things are possible. How is it that the Lord created this world in 6 days? You may think that he's not capable of removing that negativity from your mind. He created this world in 6 days, baby. 6 days. Rested on the seventh. And you're telling me that my God is not capable of renewing you, restoring you, and turning you from your old craziness, your old crazy self, revamping your life. He's not capable of that. Don't doubt your capabilities. If God has never doubted you, why would you doubt you? The same way God can come into the life of Joseph. Now let's go further into the life of Joseph. Accused of sleeping with the man's wife. Accused. But God defended him. God revamped him. The dreams that he had. The dreams he had came true. The dreams he had came true. But the thing is, Joseph had to go through the mud before it came true. A lot of people are just wanting instant gratification, an overnight success, being an overnight this and overnight. I blame it on social media because I don't know who normalized it. Why? If we're being realistic with ourselves, it does take time. It does take time. But starting is better than not starting at all. If we're being serious, starting is better than not starting at all. You just like scroll. I don't understand people of these days. Y'all just be scrolling on Instagram, be just so mad, so angry, so upset, so this, so that. Baby, let me tell you something. The same God that made something possible for someone else is the same God that can make things possible for you. I see people just hating on other people who are in their neighborhood. So you're telling me that if God is in your friend's neighborhood, you're telling me that he can't come and show out for you? Listen, you don't know how hard that person works behind the scenes to be where they are. Y'all are so into instant gratification. I said this on my Instagram a little while ago in another video. Y'all are so into instant gratification. And I said that before. I blame it on social media. Because actually changing your life takes time. You have to go through the mud. A diamond doesn't look like a diamond before it's shaved down, polished, or whatever the case may be. Phases of a diamond. Look up phases of a diamond. And you will see that a diamond does not look like a diamond before it becomes a shiny, polished diamond. A ruby does not look as beautiful as it is prior to the process. It has to go through the process. You must go through the process. You may be looking at me right now and be like, oh, Darlene, you're so, oh my gosh. I like how you do your makeup. I like how you do your outfits. I like, do you know how many years? Do you know how many years it took? I started doing my makeup at 14. I'm 23. I'm turning 24 in November. I started doing my makeup at 14. I was laughed at. I was bullied the whole nine yards. I started getting into clothes and fashion a little while later in that. But every time I would voice out my opinions on something, you may say, oh, Darlene, where do you get this knowledge from? Baby, I read books. Not only do I read books, but I try to better my perspective on things. Everyone wants the benefits, but do not do the actual work. You want a podcast, and you know you're fully capable of building a podcast. You know you're fully capable of preaching. You know you're fully capable of building your business that you want to build. You know that you're fully capable of doing what you want to do, but you are your enemy. You are the one doubting yourself. Why? Why are you doubting yourself when God has never doubted you? And let me get into deeper. Let me go deeper into this. Let me go even deeper. You may say, I don't know my purpose. You may say, I don't know what I'm capable of. You may say, I don't know, and cursing yourself. But here's this. You're telling me you, the egg that was once in your mother's uterus, and you could have been in the toilet. I'm going to be realistic with you. You're telling me that God does not have a purpose for you? When you were out of how many eggs? In your mother's uterus, in your mother's ovaries, you're telling me you don't have a purpose? You're telling me that God handpicked you for no reason? Oh, baby, you make me want to square up. Like, ain't no way. Ain't no way. Ain't no way. The moment someone self-doubts themselves, I be getting so mad. Because if we're being realistic, if God did not have a purpose for you, you would have been in the sewer a long time ago. You would not have been here. And you may say, oh, Darlene, you're sounding so abrupt. I'm just being realistic with you, baby. I'm being very much realistic with you. There's so many places you could have been. And if you're capable. You are very much capable. The same way God used Christ to fix that lineage, that is the same way that God can use you. That is the same way, the same way God can revamp your life for his purpose. All you got to do is trust him. You can't just be out here being like, oh, God, I need this. I need that. I need that. He is not no fairy. My God is not no fairy. He is not no genie. The relationship got to be equal. You got to thank him when you're happy. You got to thank him when you're sad. You got to thank him any given moment. And you know what's so funny? When I look back at my relationship, if I'm being realistic with myself, even though I had a moment, now I see the lessons. Now I am happy that it went down the way it did. I'm asking God to speak through me in multiple ways. And baby, when I tell you the Lord has been speaking through me through discernment, through my dreams, things I've never seen before. And I'm over here like, yo, I'm literally shook. I'm literally shook. Allow the Lord to work through you. Allow the Lord to have a purpose through you. Allow him to just use you. Be his servant. Bow down. Bow down to the Holy One. And the thing is, you have to be able to place the respect that you have for the Lord has to be at a different level than the respect that you have for your parents. I hold my parents at such a high regard, a very high regard. But then I realize that I have to place the Lord even higher. The Lord has to be higher than the respect that I have for my parents. And when you begin to view your life in a format of, okay, I have to really respect the Lord or else the repercussions are going to really follow. If I don't get myself right with the Lord, you will be frightened to mess up with him. You will be frightened. Did you see how the Lord was talking to the Israelites? Do you see how the Lord was talking to the Israelites in the book of Hosea when they were wilding out? The two kingdoms, remember? Southern kingdom, northern kingdom. Kingdom of Ephraim, kingdom of Judah. And I like the way earlier I spoke about how, Jacob slash Israel, his children, Judah, or his child, Judah. But the thing is, Ephraim comes from Joseph. Ephraim and Manasseh, brothers, but they're the children of Joseph. They later become a part of the tribes. Okay? So when we look at it further, the two kingdoms, book of Hosea, Israelites were just wilding. They were wilding out, worshiping different deities. They were out there in prostitution. They were just wilding out. They had golden images. They had all kinds, forgetting who their leader is. Forgetting who their leader is. They do eventually suffer the repercussions of their actions. Within the book of Hosea, you see the wrath of God. You see the wrath of God in such a way that just will leave you mute. Will leave you mute. Everyone likes to talk about, oh, God is this, God is that, God is nice, God is kind, God is, he could be kind, he could be nice. But if you cross him, if you cross him, baby, if you cross him, you do not want to cross him. You do not want to cross him. And I'm going to be the most realistic with you, baby. I'm going to be so serious with you. You do not want to cross him. Do you see how he spoke to the Israelites in the book of Hosea? Because of their foolishness. There's so many parts in the Bible where it talks about his wrath and how he will show out if you don't get your life together. Everyone likes to talk about the nice bright side of the Lord, but no, you need to respect him. You need to come correct. You need to come correct because you do not want to be on the bad side of him. You don't want to cross him. He's not one that you want to hear. The backhand that he'll give you is the most craziest backhand you'll ever receive. It will take you to a different dimension. That kind of backhand. He will gukubita in such a way you have never expected. I'm being so serious with you. You don't want to be on the wrong side of the Lord. You want to be on the good side. And that's why, you know what's so hilarious? When people start telling me, they're like, oh, Darlene, who are you voting for? Who do you think is going to, I'm not worried about this governmental. Let me speak in code because I don't want to get clocked. I don't care what this society has going on. I don't care. I don't vote. I don't partake. And I don't watch in the news. I don't watch the news. I don't care if it's BBC, CNN, whatever it may be. I don't watch it and I don't partake in it. I don't vote. I don't do none of that. Because here's the thing. They're all the same. Once the Lord peels back your eyes with discernment, they are all the same. And you may be like, Darlene, what are you talking about? There's this party and this party. They're the same. They all have one agenda. All the agendas are the same. I don't care if it's Russia. I don't care what it is. They're all one alliance. But the thing is, people are too blinded to see that. Everyone is too blinded to see that. They are one alliance, all of them. In this world, there's only two things, good or evil. Good or evil. And the thing is, they like to distract you. You know how they distract you? With these celebrities. The moment something's going on the inside, Who are they distracting you with? The issues of Diddy? The issues of Beyonce? The issues of Jay-Z? Yeah, and y'all eat it up. Y'all eat it up so good. And y'all don't even know what's happening. But here's the thing. Stop cursing yourselves. Stop listening to those demonic stuff. Don't listen to their music. Don't listen to none of that. Because that's only messing you up even more in your mind. You're wondering why you thinking about self-hatred and self all this stuff. Baby, it's because the music you're listening to. Do you not know there's demons in the background screeching on the top of their voices, but you can't even hear it? Do you know that there's demons in there singing stuff, curses to you backwards? Different deities, different foolishness. Baal himself in there. And y'all going to their concerts. Y'all going to their concerts where they can take your souls and use it for their foolish will, their evil doing, their demonic stuff. You're just going there, giving them your soul on a silver platter so they can go in there and go further in their foolishness. Don't go to those concerts. I've never been to a concert. You know how terrified I am? The fact that it's pitch black dark and there's all these colors and that's scary. That is really, really scary. They're sacrificing you, using you to complete their demonic purpose. All one alliance, all one association, every single one of them. Every single one of them, whether it's political, whether it's music, I don't care what it is, they're all the same. Under all one mantra, one mission. Don't get confused and don't get lost. Okay? Because here's the thing. When I tell you this society, you know what I'm saying though. When I tell you they know the Bible, they know the Bible in such a way that will flabbergast you. They know the Bible more than the average human, possibly. That's why they removed the Apocrypha. But it's okay. We done purchased the Apocrypha. We're going to be reading it. Okay? Go read the Book of Enoch. Go read 1st and 2nd Esdras. Go read the Book of Mary Magdalene. Go read all of it. Go read all of it. Because within it, you will understand that a lot of the things that you say upon yourself is actually a demon. I don't know what part of the Bible that is in, but I know it's in the Apocrypha. A lot of the self-diagnoses that you say about yourself, that's a demon. And you're inviting the demon in once you say you have it. The moment you say, I am, I have, I do, I will, and you say something negative, you are inviting Satan in. But the affirmations that you need to say upon yourself, because here's the thing, your subconscious doesn't really know real from fake. It's what you plant in your mind, which then transfers over to your subconscious. You need to tell yourself things of abundance. You need to say stuff about yourself that is kind. You need to be very kind to yourself to the point that you don't even understand how, wow, I'm very kind to myself. So that your subconscious can plant those seeds of goodness. You out here being mean to yourself, and then now you don't know why you have an attitude with the people at Starbucks. You do not know why you have an attitude with the people at Trader Joe's. And you don't know why you have an attitude with the gas station man when you're trying to pump your gas. What is it that you're feeding into your subconscious that's causing you to be angry at the most minuscule thing that happens throughout your day? As I said, sometimes it's you. Sometimes it's you who's your own enemy, and all the devil has to do is fertilize it. So what is it that you're saying about yourself? Are you nice or are you mean? Because if you're nice to yourself for no reason, you will be nice to people for no reason. You will be happy with other people's accomplishments for no reason. Because you see that they're empowering themselves and they're unleashing their greatest potential. It all starts with you. Self-help, self-development, self-motivation. If you see that within your mind, it's just filled with wickedness and you don't know why, sometimes It may be thoughts which you've planted a long time ago, as I said, or it may be a generational cycle. Break from those cycles. Because here's the thing, once you're locked in a cycle, the devil barely bothers to even mess with you. But the moment you want to detach yourself from that cycle, the moment you want to break from that cycle, the devil's like, oh no, I got to put her back in the cycle. Oh no, I got to put him back in the cycle. He knows, Satan knows that you are more powerful than him. We are made in the image of the Lord. You don't think that he's mad, he's jealous? Of course he's going to try to put you back in the cycle. He knows his ending. He knows his revelation. He knows the apocalypse of his time. He knows. He wants as much people as possible to go down with him. But the majority of the time, he tries to get y'all through music. Because you know what? When he was in heaven, when he was an angel in heaven, Lucifer, they say he could sing. He could do alto, soprano, tenor, bass. He could do play the harp. He could play the violin. He could do everything. And he was trying to get y'all through music. Trying to get y'all through music, y'all. But also try to get y'all through other ways. Do an analysis on your life. And I really want you to start writing positive things about you. I want you to get a journal. Go get a journal. I write my notes to the Lord through a regular journal. My English. Through a regular journal. And just write to yourself. And then plastered on my wall, I have my affirmations. I recite them every day. Recite your affirmations and write them in the tense that you already have, like you already have it. Write in the format as if you already have it. Don't say I will. Don't say I will do. Don't write it in future tense. Don't write that in that tense. Write it in current, present tense. Write like you already have it. Write like you're already doing it. And then you go back to your word. You go back to your journal. And you update God. God already knows what's happening in your life, but still update him. Still write him letters of gratitude. Still write him letters of adoration. It's only through him that you are where you are. If it wasn't for him, baby, I do not know what to tell you. If it wasn't for the Lord, I do not know where I would be. So, you know, begin looking at life from a different perspective. Do not seek instant gratification. Go through the change, go through the mud, go through it. But then also, do not compare your lives to other people. You are in your own lane. If you're going to Atlanta, why would you be so focused on someone that's going to Berrien Springs? Why are you all up in the lane of somebody that's going to Berrien Springs? Make that make sense. You do not know what's going to be in Berrien Springs. Ngira, why? Everybody has a different calling. Everybody has a different purpose. But if you're too focused on the person going to Atlanta, and going to North South Carolina, and you're too much on their highway, you're all up in their vehicle. You're all up in their business. Competing, contrasting, comparing, contrasting, competing, all that foolishness, you're going to crash on your way to Berrien Springs. A semi will hit you so fast, you'll be flabbergasted, and you won't know why. Because you are too focused on other people's blessings. Stay in your vehicle. Stay in your car. Focus on your own blessings. Go read books. Go read books. Go seek better understanding and go seek knowledge from the Lord. Because you are fully capable of breaking all the generational curses which was in your lineage, passed down in your lineage. It is through you that you will make a remarkable change in your life. It is through you and the power of the most amazing God that we serve that you are capable to break all these things in a matter of time. Do not underestimate my God. The same God that can construct this world in only 6 days is the same God that can help you, is the same God that can revamp your life. Do you feel what I'm saying? Do you feel what I'm saying, baby? Do you feel me? Don't underestimate yourself. Do not underestimate yourself because then you're going to make me want to square up. Okay? So I hope this podcast was helpful. I hope this episode was helpful. And don't forget that I love you guys. Let's end with a word of prayer. Most gracious and everlasting Father, Please cover your children. Help them to open their minds to new possibilities. Help them, Lord God, in such a way that they may be renewed and restored in your power. Lord, I pray that you may help them so they can never underestimate themselves, because you are a God of possibilities and you know their capabilities. Thank you for everything you have done, and thank you for your goodness and mercy. Shield us, cover us in your protection, allow us to have your full armor around us, and allow us to march in our purpose, since we ask and say in your most precious name. Amen.